In terms of the, say, the spiritual qualities, dana, generosity, that willingness to give, willingness to share, to be open-handed, that's a beautiful quality. It's a beautiful spiritual quality. Sila, in the sense of virtue, of integrity, of a commitment to kind of moral uprightness and of course, in this sense of barami being a spiritual virtue, these are very bright qualities, so that that can say, especially with say sila in terms of virtue, integrity, that when there's that very strong commitment to virtue, it has, and when you think of it in terms like a barami, it's somebody that really is able to transform oneself, but also transform others. So, like, you think of virtue as a barami, and you think, well, virtue, morality. It doesn't really, sometimes our image from the West is not so attractive, kind of tight and judgmental. But then they have one of the potent images or stories that I can recollect is a story from the Chinese tradition. It's actually say Master Hua, the abbot of City of 10,000 Buddhas, he passed away now, and then his teacher, Master Su Yun, Empty Cloud, and he lived to a very old age. He died when he was 120, and a great meditation teacher, leader of communities, built monasteries. One of the things he also did was do pilgrimages, and these three steps, one bow pilgrimage. He did three steps, one bow across China. I don't know how long it took. Can't remember how long it took. It's not a lot. It's not a short distance. But anyway, there was at one point in time he was traveling. Not on a three steps one bow pilgrimage, but he was traveling, so he was on a bus, and this is say China was going through a long period of civil war, civil strife, this particular day, then their bus was attacked by bandits. And he was sitting on the bus with the other passengers, and bandits get on. Bandits start relieving the passengers of their money and valuables, and then they got to him, and they're a bit uneasy and. And sort of said, sorry, Venerable Sir, we won't be bothering you. And sorry, this is a bit uncomfortable. And say, respect you as a monk, and kind of wish for your safety, and he just made a simple statement and sort of said, well, if you really believe that and meant that, you would give back what you've just taken from these other people and give it back to them. And if you really actually respected me, that's what you would do. And that's what they did. I'm sure they felt really good. What the heck happened there? But it was sort of more like the power of Barmy. He didn't sort of berate them or it just sort of like made a simple statement of, you know, if you really had respect to the Triple Gem and to practitioner of the Buddha, then you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. So his commitment to Sila, his Barmy and Sila, was enough to transform others. Nekamma Barami is the third Barami, and sort of the renunciation. Renunciation in English feels really painful, just to have to give up something. Say Nekamma from a perspective of spiritual practice is the opportunity to relinquish or put down things that are burdensome, and that opportunity to relinquish the burden of things of a material nature. Also, in terms of Nekamma, to relinquish our attachments, relinquish our moods, relinquish our views and opinions. Just not hang on to it. Relinquish our fears. Just that Nekamma. So bringing that spirit of renunciation, relinquishment, dropping, shedding. Maybe shedding is a good way. Okay. I don't have to carry this burden. So that's that sense of Nekamma is an opportunity to drop the burden, either of the material or the emotional world. So that Nekamma Barami. Banya Barami, perfection of wisdom. Discernment is, of course, a good word. That application, applying the mind with reflective investigation. That's what, you know, we're taking experience, because the Buddha's, you know, on a certain level, what the Buddha discovered is not all that earth-shaking or radical, but because it's reflected on and understood and penetrated, it has the power to transform. So then that, like the classical idiom that's recited in the suttas, which denotes the arising of the Dhamma eye, the entering into the stream of Dhamma, the realization, the first stage of awakening, all that is of the nature to arise, that is of the nature to cease. And you think, it's pretty ordinary. But on a rational level, it is. But then it's panya that takes and investigates it, applies it, recognizes how universal that is, recognizes how even, you know, whatever shred of identity we can create around that everything is impermanent. It really is. And that has a liberating quality to it. So that to be able to take things from a, you know, on a sort of ordinary level of truth, but then to internalize it and allow the heart to transform because of it. That's sort of the function of wisdom, and the function of, they say, that as a barami, it has this transformative quality. Aweary of Barmi, they say the perfection of effort. In the scriptures, the Buddha describes his own teaching as Viryavada. It's a teaching of effort. Say it's not a teaching of you don't have to do anything, and somehow, or you just have to wait for like there was a teaching in the time of the Buddha that they say there, you know, there in the same that you know, everything plays itself out on its own. There's a natural end to everything. You just have to wait long enough. It's like a ball of string that you roll it out, and finally it's going to come to an end. And so that our human existences and whatnot will in the same way, it's going to end in enlightenment anyway. So you don't have to do anything. You just have to sort of be patient and put up with it. So the Buddha doesn't subscribe to that. Sort of, no, you need to put forth effort in training, investigation, in purification. And so it's a Viryavada. And that putting forth of effort. But it's also, say, right effort, in that just because one's flailing around spectacularly and displaying all sorts of effort doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anywhere. So that there's a balance that needs to be applied. Perfection of the barmi of effort and energy. Kanti barmi, this perfection of patience. So that there's and patience, and I bring it up a lot. I mean, certainly the Ajahn Chah put a tremendous emphasis on the need for patience in practice to be this application of Kanti. So because we tend to get frustrated, or we tend to discouraged, or we, you know, but this sense of being willing to be patient. But it's important to recognize how we're holding patience, because the tendency that we have in relating to patience is sort of kind of like patiently waiting for something bad to be finished or be over with. If you wait long enough, then it'll be over somehow. But patience is much more a steadfastness of mind that's present with what it's experiencing, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. And that's that, maybe that steadfast quality within the mind that is more typifies patience. Satya Bharami is the next one, and that's a perfection of truth, in the same way that commitment to truth, or that chant that brought up a little while ago, that commitment to truth has a transformative quality. The last one, or the next one, is adhitana, which is determination, to have a sense of determination, what would be another word for adhitana, determination? kind of maybe like a resilient resolve is a good one. Resolve, resilience, to be resilient in what one does. You know, one determines determination. Those are all qualities that is form of the sense of adhitana, where you know, one decides to do something, and you actually do it. Sort of adhitana. Yeah, commitment would be a good one. Yeah, sort of adhitana. It's sort of. Sometimes it's helpful to get to realize like there isn't just one word that describes these qualities. It's sort of like getting a constellation of words. You get a flavor of what it's pointing to. Metta, loving kindness, that sense of care, concern, kindness that we show towards ourselves and others. And the last quality being upekkha, which is equanimity, but is definitely not indifference. Equanimity is even-minded, balanced, equanimous, unshakable, maybe unshakable. Being unshakable is a good description as a spiritual quality to be as the culmination of these different spiritual qualities. So these are the qualities that are pointed to as the qualities of a Buddha, and of course in terms of our own practice, these are qualities that we can rely on for crossing over our own difficulties, problems, obstacles. And so that's helpful to sort of reflect, you know, when there seems to be some sort of obstacle, what barami can I turn to and direct my attention towards and bring up in the mind that will help me to cross over this difficulty? Or to even when there's something wholesome and really skillful happening, what can I do that would help this to be sustained and flourish? So, because it isn't, practicing Dhamma isn't always about just dealing with problems. It's realizing that we're able to delight in the goodness that we're doing. It's important quality.